that you don't. I've done things that you won't. There's nothing like a trail of blood to find your way back home. I was waiting for my host. What came next was so much worse. It took a funeral to make me feel alive. Just open your eyes. Just open your eyes and see that life is...
Chapter 10. The quiet chime of multiple comm alerts, one after another, comes just as Fox is keying open the secret passage. With a frown, Mace pauses, checking the display. But Fox doesn't need to. He's fully aware of what it is, and the urge to smirk is almost irresistible. "What now?" he asks, though he probably doesn't quite nail the delivery. It's hard to pretend concern or annoyance when they're on their way down to the center of Palpatine's Sithly influence. This is exactly how Fox is going to show everyone the Chancellor was a Sith, and Mace is the best possible person to find the information. "More orders," Mace says after a moment, still thoughtful. "Filed by the Chancellor. Reforms to the Gar. Pensions and back pay for the clones, an independent organization tasked with prosecuting corruption, and several other changes, all well within the emergency powers the Chancellor was granted by the Senate." "Oh yeah?" Fox asks, and lets the door slide open. "We all get homesteads in the Outer Rim?" "Is that what you want after the war?" Mace asks, following him in. There's one apartment in Coco Town that Fox is intending to keep for himself, out of Palpatine's hall of properties. Plus, maybe a lake house on Naboo, but, well, that's probably not the best thing to say right now. He can save it for later. After Mace knows everything, probably. "If you want me to stay on a farm for more than a week, you'd better up and plant me. I'm staying on Coruscant." "Fortunate," Mace says gravely, though there's a flicker of humor in the curve of his mouth. "I have little experience with long-distance relationships." Fox goes hot. A relationship. And, of course, that's what he was aiming for. Of criffing course he didn't just want to bang Mace and walk away, but that's a big word. Four hefty syllables. Fox's new favorite word, potentially. Right after Mace. "Oh, yeah?" he asks, trying for casual, and promptly almost brains himself on an exposed pipe. Jango had to give them this along with all the good genetics. Fox would happily put a blaster in the bastard's ass, given the chance. That dent in Jango's helmet should have been a warning. "Little tight in here," he says. Thinks about adding sorry, and promptly decides that he isn't at all, so he doesn't bother. There's a long, equally narrow staircase ahead of them, and Fox leans over, peers down it. He supposedly checked this place recently, but he feels like he would have said something about that railing that's coming loose. Maybe Palpatine really did screw with his brain. "That railing's sketchy. I would have noticed." There's a pause, then a touch on his back. "You would have," Mace confirms quietly. "Perhaps we should bypass it altogether. May I?" It's not hard to guess what he means. "Absolutely," Fox says, and turns into Mace, who tightens an arm around his waist as he casts Fox an amused look. "Most clones tend to complain about not having a jetpack," Mace says mildly. Fox scoffs. "Cowards," he says disdainfully, because even Cody is more willing to throw himself off buildings with a jetpack than with a good old-fashioned grapple line. Fox scales buildings and tosses himself over the sides of balconies all day long. He doesn't have time to wait for a jetpack. Mace makes a sound of amusement.
"Perhaps we're a better match than I anticipated," he says,
and leaps from the top landing, dropping straight down the center of the spiraling staircase. Fox whoops just to hear the sound stolen by the wind, And Mace twists, flips them right over as Fox's heart leaps, and then lands, light as a tuka, right in the middle of the last landing. "Criff," Fox says and catches his breath, looking up. No hesitation. And that's a hell of a drop. I want criffing force powers just for that. Mace raises a brow, letting Fox go and stepping away. One of its perks, he says, and looks down the next hall. There's a branching path at the end of it, and he glances at Fox. Decoy, Fox tells him, because that, at least, he remembers perfectly. Left leads back around to the maintenance levels. Right is to the tunnels. It feels safe to assume whoever killed the Chancellor knows that as well, Mace says, and heads to the right. The tunnel is a little wider here, and Fox takes full advantage, falling in to walk shoulder to shoulder with Mace. The lighting is low, and it makes him think of the candles from dinner, Mace's quiet pleasure at the sight of the flowers. Mace needs to get him more flowers, another big bouquet, maybe something even flashier this time, a statement. The tunnel opens into a wide room, and Mace stops dead. Oh, Fox says, sweeping a look over the garish red and gold. What a lack of taste. And I like red. Mace is still frozen, staring. But Fox starts down the wide steps that are definitely not escape tunnel standard. There are hangings on the walls that aren't taken up by growth chambers full of strange, twisted shapes. But Fox's attention is caught by the stone slab in the very center of the room, a pulsing crystal set into it. His head hurts just looking at it. And Fox isn't exactly a Sith mastermind, but if he had to guess, he'd say that's what they're looking for. What he's looking for, seeing as Mace doesn't know yet. "Be careful," Mace says grimly. And the only trace of sound Fox can hear from him is the faintest brush of cloth on cloth as he descends the steps. Those are Sith chrysalids. Even a full team of Jedi would be hard-pressed to face them. Fox casts another glance at the growth chambers, taking in one thing that looks vaguely like a meaner version of a Rancor. He hadn't exactly thought that was possible, but, well, Darth Vader was a meaner version of Skywalker, so he supposes the Sith are good at that sort of thing. Sith specialty? Guess they set up down here since it was so well hidden. Yes, Mace says quietly, and comes to a halt in front of the slab of rock, his eyes on the crystal. There's a long moment before he reaches out, holding his hands above it, like he can feel the waves of power it's emitting. And then he says quietly, "Tell me, Fox, how long did you know the Chancellor was a Sith before you killed him?" Fox blinks, turns away from the chrysalids in their tanks. Mace doesn't look like he's angry. He also doesn't look like he's about to calm for the guard and have Fox dragged away in binders, which is probably a good sign. Conversation, that's what this is. Conducive to a healthy relationship or whatever. Fox wasn't really listening when Thorne was telling him all the ways Padme and Skywalker's relationship was a bad one. "Hypothetically," Fox says, "if I did know, given all of his emergency powers, a little bit of murder isn't the worst thing that could have happened." Mace hums, turns. He leans back against the stone, one brow raised, and he looks amused. It's official. Fox is going to keep him forever. "I don't think," Mace says, "that's how hypotheticals work." Fox rolls his eyes. "What if I were trying to give you plausible deniability?" he asks pointedly. Mace tips his head, considering that. "I would say," he says after a moment, "that the Sith are the enemy of the Republic, and that you are a soldier of the Republic, charged with protecting it. You saw a threat and dealt with it." Fox pauses. That's not precisely a defense he'd considered. Given everything else, he'd thought about going with an insanity plea on the off chance he was caught, but he likes it a lot better than his other options. That the argument you're going to make to the military court? He asks.
I've been having headaches, Mace says instead of answering, and his dark eyes are steady, unwavering as he watches Fox. Particularly around you, when things change. When you change things.
Fox thinks, like a revelation of that moment in the temple hall, just before Faye turned up alive. Mace had gotten a headache, said,
Forgive me, something's changed.
And something did. Faye changed things. Faye changed Fox. And he'd fix the whole damn Republic, because what the hell else was he going to do?
For the better, right?
Fox asks lazily. And when the urge rises, he gives into it, crossing the space between them with deliberate steps.
Seems to me that leaving a Sith Lord in charge of the Republic is like letting the fox in with the hens, or something like that.
Mace snorts, but when Fox stops in front of him, he reaches out. Fox grins, taking his hands and stepping in close, pushing him all the way up against the stone.
Sounds like you're laughing at me, Jedi, he accuses. I killed a Sith. I think I deserve a little respect. And a kiss. Maybe 1,000 kisses, Mace says, amused, and dips his head.
Then he pauses and asks,
What are the odds someone will interrupt if I try to give you one of the many kisses you deserve?
At this point, Fox tells him, I don't care if we get interrupted by a whole damn theater troupe ready to perform a Bothan opera.
I do,
Mace says gravely, but his gaze is sharp with humor and the words are purely teasing.
Bothan opera is an overlooked art full of subtlety and grace, deserving of our full appreciation.
I'm going to kiss you now, Fox warns him.
Are you? Mace asks,
but his arms slide around Fox's neck and his fingers settle right over the spot where Skywalker snapped Fox's neck a handful of days ago. Not now, though. None of it is happening now. Not least of all because Mace is right here and he isn't going anywhere.
Yeah, Fox says, rough in his throat.
He wants so much there's no good way to put it into words.
Absolutely.
Mace hums, thoughtful.
Given how many laws you must have drafted in this last week, he says, it's no wonder you were so tense earlier. And we weren't able to finish. This might help.
It will definitely help, Fox says, and, impatient, he leans in. Mace dips his head to meet him, one hand coming up to gently cup Fox's chin with long, warm fingers. And Fox pushes up, catches his mouth, and kisses him hard. There's a low sound against his mouth, a tightening of Mace's grip. And Fox tips his head, deepens it, tangles their tongues, and kisses Mace like they're both drowning. Mace doesn't try to gentle it, doesn't try to ease back. He pulls Fox in, answers the clutch of Fox's hands readily, easily, kisses Fox like it's all he's been thinking about. It's all Fox has been thinking about, all he's been wanting for days. And he gets his fingers under Mace's thighs, boosts him up on top of the stone, and pushes him back. And Mace drags Fox with him as he goes down. Fox gets a knee on the block, curls over him, and Mace hardly breaks the kiss as he pulls Fox down, kissing him so sweetly that Fox is absolutely sure he's going to die from it. This is going to murder him, send him to an early grave. Another early grave. Not that it matters, because he's going to die the happiest bastard in the galaxy.
How much do you think it would piss the Sith off if we fuck on their altar? Fox breathes against Mace's mouth.
Immeasurably,
Mace answers. But he doesn't stop kissing Fox for more than a bare instant, and Fox takes that as agreement. He gets his hand in Mace's sash and hauls his robes open, finally gets at that white undershirt that's been haunting him for years. And when he drags his mouth away to press his lips to Mace's throat, Mace sighs like it's something perfect, tangles a hand in Fox's hair.
Fox,
he says, and Fox never wants to hear anything ever again except his name from Mace's mouth, said just like that.
I killed the Sith with his own lightsaber,
Fox breathes against dark skin and smiles as Mace's fingers tighten.
Took one of them, and now I want you to show me how to work it, because I'm going to turn him into the hero of the galaxy and do everything he would hate, and a clone using his lightsaber.
You already seem to be doing exceptionally on your own, Mace gets out, and tugs, and Fox obligingly settles over him again, takes his mouth and slides his hands up scarred skin and lets them drift down. Mace pulls him in tighter, kisses him harder, and for the first time since he landed back in the Republic, Fox feels wholly, entirely right inside his own skin.